Good afternoon. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, The Wake Up Call. I'm Dick Paddock, co-host, and we're coming to you live over the facilities of WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. And my co-host here is Lorraine Hoyt, and we have a guest from, is it properly NC Warren or, okay, from NC Warren, Sally Robertson.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're glad you're here. I've known Sally for a while, and it turns out you've known her for quite a while too. And it's really nice to see you again. It's been a while.
Likewise.
Yeah, and I didn't realize you've been working for NC Warren that long.
About 2.5 years.
Yeah, gosh, time flies when we're having so much fun, doesn't it? Yeah. So, so we're here to talk about Sally's work with NC Warren. And she's going to tell us about her work on one of their big projects now, which first I heard it was solarizing Chatham County. Now I hear it's solarizing North Carolina. So is it growing or hopefully growing?
It is. It's we call it Solarize North Carolina, but the Solarize model works with a specific limited geography, so we have to work one area at a time. We started with Solarize Durham last year.
Okay.
And we had a Solarize Chatham last year that so far is the most successful Solarize program in the state.
Is it? Dick is from Chatham County. Right. He's smiling. Dick
and was, I didn't even do my part yet.
Well, he's thinking hard about that, thinking hard.
But he helped a lot with the outreach last year, and that's what made it so successful, I think.
Oh, that's great. And so where are you working now, Carrboro?
No, I can tell you in a minute about a Carrboro program, but the NC, there are multiple organizations working with the Solarize model.
Okay.
It's the model actually started in Portland, Oregon in 2009, and it's being used across the country. So NC Warren found out about it when there was a Solarize Asheville program. And we started our Durham program. We did Durham and Chatham last year. This year we've done the Triad, and we're now doing Durham and Chatham again and Western Wake County. But there is a Carrboro and Orange County and Chapel Hill program that's run by a different nonprofit called Next Climate.
Okay.
And that nonprofit is right here in Carrboro. Their director, Rob Pinder, couldn't be here today, but I told him I would talk about his programs too.
Okay, and what is his organization called?
Next Climate.
Next, N-E-X-T.
Mm-hmm.
Next Climate. So that's an interesting name. I had heard there was something in Carrboro, but I didn't hear the name of the group. Are they a new group?
I think they are pretty new. I think Rob is pretty much a one-man band,
okay.
But very energetic and devoted to the cause. So the name of his organization indicates why we're all in it. At least NC Warren is also motivated by concerns of climate change.
Climate change, right.
One of the NC Warren's mission, a big part of it, is to turn around Duke Energy and get them to adopt a new business model that has less to do with fossil fuels and a lot more to do with renewable energy and energy efficiency. But the second prong of our operations is to not wait for Duke and go around them and say we can do solar and other good things on our own and demonstrate what ought to be done. And it's all about climate change for us, and I think that's what motivates Rob too.
So you talked about NC Warren hearing about Portland having this model for solarizing. Can you tell us how that model works? What is the model?
It's a grassroots effort, so there's an organization that sponsors a program, in our case, NC Warren.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually a nonprofit, but not always. And it's a limited geography and limited time period. So the sponsor negotiates a deal with some commercial solar installers to give a discount for that area for that time period.
Okay.
And they do that because we're doing all the marketing on a grassroots basis, and they don't have to advertise. We're doing their what they call lead generation. We're generating business for them, and it saves them money. So they can offer a discount. And then the other part of the model that's interesting, it's called tiered pricing. So the more people sign up to get solar through a given Solarize program, the cheaper the price gets. We have, in our programs we're doing now, we have four tiers. So it starts out at an already discounted price, and as more people sign up, it can get...
It gets better and better?
Yeah, and Chatham is the first one in the state to get... Last year, they got all the way... We had five tiers then. They got all the way to Tier 5, which means 300 kilowatts or more installed. So we had 64 households and businesses, mostly households, installing 300 kilowatts of solar power, which, just to give you an idea, I had solar installed on my house through Rob Pinder's program, through the Next Climate Solarized Carborough program last year, and I got 4 kilowatts. So the average for Chatham, I guess, was a little higher than that, but it was 64 households and a total of 330 kilowatts.
Well, that is so exciting. So this is happening all over the country.
Yeah.
Because I remember a few years back hearing about a book on public radio. I think it was called The Third Way or something like that. But it was the idea that rather than having these big solar farms and then you have to transmit it somewhere, that if you could get in every town, every city, all the new business, there would be the requirement that they be solarized, mm-hmm. and then start, you know, getting all the homes, that this would create so many jobs because each home would have to have, you know, people who are pretty highly technically trained. These would mm-hmm. be pretty good paying jobs.
Yeah.
And this could save our whole job problem. I mean, it could be so much work and be technical enough that the pay would be decent.
Yeah.
Very, very much a very livable wage. And I thought, gee, here's these simple solutions, or sounds like a simple mm-hmm. solution, just to get the thing in process and get the political will. So it sounds like you all are doing that. That is so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a win-win-win, because it does build the local solar industry, too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'll get these numbers right, but one of the two installers we're working with Yes Solar Solutions in Cary and Southern Energy Management in Morrisville. And Kathy Miller of Yes Solar Solutions told me, I think what she said was that their staff went from 11 to 23 in this same time period that we're doing the Solarize. Solar's becoming more popular anyway, so mm-hmm. I'm sure they would have had some growth anyway. But the Solarize programs have helped them build up their staff.
So the staff being the ones who install it?
I think probably at all levels, probably some office staff too, I think they said they put on a new installation crew.
So the one was Yes and Cary, and what was the other one? Morrisville?
Southern Energy Management.
So now, does that mean that these components are manufactured here?
No, a lot of them are manufactured overseas.
They are.
And there's also, just like with cars, there's a lot of, you know, it's hard to tell who does what to whom. So there are parts that come from overseas, but maybe they're assembled here or vice versa.
Uh-huh. So is that something that as more and more people are doing it, that there would be some hope that at least more of the components would be made here or more parts of them made here?
I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
There's another part of the Solarize model is to standardize as much as possible. So we standardize the pricing and standardize the equipment. So there's not that much variety in the equipment you can get through Solarize. They're all high-quality panels. There's one that is there's a slight upcharge for it that's called Suniva, which I believe is manufactured in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the panels are a dark blue, mm-hmm. and the Suniva is all black. Some homeowners associations will only let you put all black panels on. So people might choose it for that reason, or they might choose it because they want U.S.-made equipment.
So who's the only ones that you put the black panels on?
Some homeowners associations.
Oh, some homeowners associations.
It hasn't been so bad. I don't think we've had that much trouble in Durham and Chatham, but uh-huh. some of the Western Wake, like Cary, Apex neighborhoods that we're going into, there are homeowners associations that have restrictions on solar. There's a fellow who's a member of NC Warren who desperately wants to get solar, and he's been fighting his HOA every way he possibly knows how to, and they just will not let him put solar on his house. I don't know for sure in his case, but a lot of them require that it not be visible from a public right-of-way. But solar needs to go on as close as possible to a south-facing roof as possible, and of course unshaded. And if that roof on your house happens to face the road,
and
the HOA won't let you put it there, then there's trouble.
Maybe we'll be moving, as this becomes more and more popular, into where that will be seen as an aesthetic plus, you know, like,
absolutely.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely. there is actually a newer law that prevents an HOA from doing even that. They can't prevent you from putting solar anywhere on your roof. but that only applies to homeowners associations that were established after a certain date. I think maybe 2009 or something
Okay. So yeah, I guess in this job, you've been learning a lot about solar.
A lot, yeah.
So much so that you had your own home done. You mm-hmm. saw the financial benefits to it. And maybe that's one thing. Maybe we could talk about what are we actually talking about, solarizing. And right now, I know there's talk about it getting cheaper and that there's tax credits. Is all maybe confusing to somebody who has not known a lot about it. Maybe we could go into some of the nitty gritty.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So solarizing, I would take just means getting solar components, but maybe it means more than that, or
it just means getting solar power for your home that helps you provide some of the electricity for your home. Mm-hmm. So what the package actually includes is most of the solarized systems. Solarize is the name of our program. So most of the systems that
so
are installed.
So Solarize is the name of the...
Yeah.
So okay.
The systems that are installed under our program consist of the panels, which go on your roof.
Uh-huh.
We do a few non-rooftop installations, but that's not the same discounted pricing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you see it mounted on the ground, so that's possible, but most of ours are rooftop, so you've got the panels on the roof,
mm-hmm.
and there are lines going down to what's called an inverter that usually is mounted on the side of your house, because which converts the DC electricity, direct current electricity from the panels, into alternating current that you can use in your house.
Okay.
So that's what the inverter does.
Okay.
So that's most of the package, is just the panels, the inverter, and the wiring that connect them all and connect them to your breaker box in your house.
And so, like we were talking about beforehand, about somebody I knew who had done it several years ago and had a whole little shed full of batteries but didn't want to be on the grid, mean connected mm-hmm. at all to Duke Power or whatever your main power company is. What the way you all are doing it is that you don't have to have those batteries.
Right.
You're connected to the grid,
right.
The main power source, and you just were explaining about net metering. Net metering.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
gosh. So that is really exciting. Could you explain to our listeners what that is?
Sure. Right. You can, if you wanted to be off the grid, you would have to have batteries to store a bunch of power so that at night and when the sun isn't shining, you'd still have power to use in your house.
Yes.
Right now, a much more, that's very expensive right now.
It is very expensive.
And so, like, our solar installers that we're working with told me that could double the price of your system mm-hmm. if you wanted to really be off the grid. Mm-hmm. And much more economical right now is to do what's called net metering, where if you're in Duke Energy territory, even though we don't like everything Duke does, it is very good that they offer this net metering option, which means you connect your house stays connected to the grid.
Mm-hmm.
They come out and they give you a new meter that runs forwards and backwards. So instead of the meter you have now, where you're just always paying Duke Energy, your meter will run forward when you're using power from the grid, and it will run backwards when you're sending your excess power out to the grid. So whatever solar you can use in your house at any given time, you're using in your house.
Mm-hmm.
But anything excess you produce goes out to the grid, and you get credited at the retail rate. So they credit you at the same rate per kilowatt hour that they're charging you when you buy from them.
Well, so was that difficult to get them to agree to that? Because I've heard that in some areas that it's very hard to get that agreement.
I think so. It's not offered by all utilities.
Yeah.
I wasn't at NC Warren, and I wasn't paying as close attention when that went through, and I'm mm-hmm. not sure historically exactly when it went through, but we haven't always had net metering.
No.
Some of the systems that I know people have that were installed a few years ago, they just had to sell all their power to Duke, and Duke doesn't pay retail for that. They pay wholesale for that.
Right.
So it's called a buy-it-all, sell-all arrangement.
Yeah.
And that's much less lucrative. So the net metering, where you can get credit at the retail rate, that's basically having the grid act as your battery. You're basically storing power on the grid and then buying it back when you need it.
It's like putting money in the bank and getting your money back at,
right.
at that same. That's
right.
that's terrific. That's what I didn't realize that. So all of that helps make it much more financially feasible. And then I think they're saying, and I don't know, is that going to end this year unless it's renewed, that there is a tax break still to the end of this year?
Yeah. I'll go through quickly what's making solar so affordable now compared to before. The prices for solar have come down about 80% in the last 5 years.
80%?
In 5 years. So they're a lot cheaper. If you looked into it 5 years ago, look into it again.
There's something else that's new on the horizon, and that's Elon Musk and his batteries.
Yeah.
He is going to take off from his batteries that he uses for his car, his Tesla, and as I understand it, he's going to be able to build batteries that will essentially allow you to be off the grid, and it will cost on the order of $3,000 per house, as I understand it.
But that's not available right now. That's a vision.
But it won't be that long because he's got the technology. He's even got three separate designs for small, medium, and large, and he's apparently ready to go with it. Rather quickly.
So this is something that could be happening that is very, very hopeful. But where we are right now, we've had a tax break. So if anybody is thinking of it right now, this tax break ends the end of this year?
It does. There are two tax credits. There's a 35% state tax credit that ends at the end of this year and a 30% federal tax credit that ends at the end of 2016. There's legislation to extend the North Carolina one, but we don't know if it will pass or not. And those are tax credits. It's not just a deduction, but it's a credit off of what you owe in taxes.
Okay.
So just to give you an idea, when I did my taxes this year, I got back as a refund all of my withholding at the federal level and a good part of it at the state level because my solar tax credit ate up all of the taxes that I owed. It paid all the taxes I owed. Once I had subtracted the credit, I didn't owe any taxes, and all that withholding I'd had came back to me as a refund. So if you don't have taxable income, then it doesn't help you at all.
Yeah.
But if you do have enough taxable income to use it up, it can pay back about 60% of the cost of the system in tax credits.
Wow.
You have to pay a small federal tax on your state tax credit, so that's why it's not 65, the sum of the 30 and the 35. It's about 60% that you can get back in tax credits.
So that's a huge thing, and there is legislation that may or may not pass. So I would just recommend anybody who's been sitting on the fence and seriously thinking about it, this would be a good time to move on it because it may be renewed, but it may not.
Yeah. I sometimes ask people, would you rather pay taxes or install solar?
Because
that money is going out of your pocket. It could go into the federal treasury and state treasury, or it could go towards solar.
Yeah.
Of course, you do have to come up with the upfront money. Just to give you an example of prices, we've got on our flyer, we have a sample system that we say costs, the average market price is $19,000 for the size system that I got on my fairly small house, and the solarized price is $15,800 at our tier one, where even if you were the only person doing it, not without that tiered pricing discount going, getting deeper.
So it went from 19 to 15 something.
For just by participating with the solarized discount. And then the
tax
price after the tax credits, actual out-of-pocket after the tax credits come back to you is $6,320. But that $15,800, you have to come up with that at the outset. Not everybody has that lying around. There are some really good solar custom loans that are customized for solar that will give you 30% interest-free because they know you're going to be able to pay back that 30% with your federal tax credit probably in the first year. So there are some good loan products for people that don't have the money up front.
But
one way or the other, through a loan or out of your pocket, you have to pay for it up front and then get the tax credits back.
So that would be a stumbling block for some people.
For some people.
Yeah.
The loans really make it affordable as long as you have a decent credit rating, and if they work ideally, within just a couple years, your loan payment per month is less than what you're saving on your electric bill.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes very attractive, mm-hmm. after just a couple years.
Mm-hmm. So that combination, if you can get the solarized price where they're offering a limited time in each area, mm-hmm. and then you get the tax credit, and then if you get that loan, it can be very, very feasible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For most people.
Yeah.
And I'll respond to what Dick said about the Tesla, it's called the Powerwall, that new battery that they announced.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking to our solar installers about it to see what their take is, and they say that it probably does, will work with these systems that we're installing. If you just install it alone, it has to have an inverter, but it will work with the inverters that are installed with our solar panels. There might have to be some slight modifications, but that can be done. They're a little on the fence about how worthwhile it is for a solar customer in an area that has net metering, because the net metering kind of acts as your battery, like I was saying before. But if you did want to, if you absolutely wanted to go off the grid, or if you lived in an area where your utility didn't offer net metering, it might be a good option.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be, I think the companies we're working with are going to be able to supply it probably by the end of this year at least.
Oh, it's going to be going that fast in production?
I think they were talking about summer when they made the announcement, and
I didn't realize that's what I was saying to you. That's a vision for the future. It's actually happening. I'm sorry. I didn't quite get that. So it's happening pretty fast.
Yeah. And what's exciting is that it's a lot cheaper energy storage option than we've had before.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned before that the installers said the batteries that we had up till now would pretty much double the price of a solarized system.
And
as Dick mentioned, I think $3,000 might be the cost to the installer, so they're, by the time you're paying for it, it might be more than that, but it's a lot cheaper than what's available now.
Right.
And it also sends a message to people like Duke Energy that this is the future. This technology is coming along, and
faster than we all thought.
Yeah, you better be on the solar bandwagon or be left behind.
Yeah, so it puts some pressure on them to kind of get it together a little better than they've been doing.
Yeah.
Although I'm surprised to hear that they have offered the net metering, and pleased to hear that. You always like to hear something good, even about Duke Power, that there's so much that's not good that
right.
We're very glad to hear something. Okay.
We do think there's hope for them, and they're doing a lot of large-scale solar, but they're also doing some discouraging things about the rooftop solar. I think they haven't really figured out how to make rooftop solar fit into their model,
mm-hmm.
and it's making them a little nervous that it's becoming so popular, so they're
so quickly
putting the brakes on that as much as they can, which
yeah.
we don't like.
So if you were going to get if you're going to get solar on your roof, that's one thing. When we're at Central Carolina Community College and had the tour of their solar installation, he said what made it really a good idea was that they had just gotten a new roof the year before. So
right.
you don't want to get all that solar and have your roof needing to be replaced in a couple of years.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to think about.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people have, if their roof is older than 10 years or so, they'll have it replaced and then put the solar on.
Yeah.
Or in my case, as you know, I have a metal roof, and I had my roof repainted before we put the solar up.
Yeah, so metal roofs last about 50 years, I think.
Okay. We probably could have gotten away without painting it, but it was recommended, so we did.
Yeah, so they're much sturdier roofs. So Dick was just giving the signal. I think we take a station break and do some announcements, and then we'll be back.
Right. This is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom show, the wake-up call. We're being brought to you over the facilities of WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. And we're very happy that you joined us this afternoon. We're talking to Sally Robertson, who's with North Carolina NC Warren, And she specifically is working in the area of solarizing houses. I suppose you would do small businesses, too, if it came to that. But
absolutely, yeah.
But mainly residential.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked into it, so I'm reconsidering. We are an all-volunteer organization here running this radio show and the whole station. There's going to be a fundraiser that's being partially sponsored by WCOM, and that's going to be on May 21st. Let me see if I can get it right.
Another one?
Yeah, this is something else. It's a film. It's going to be shown at the Varsity Theater, and it's called Shadows of...
That's about media?
Yeah, it's about media. It's sort of like manufacturing consent, for those of you who are old enough to remember that.
Yes, and there's other sponsors besides WCOM.
Right, there's several other sponsors, including...
Yeah, Balance and Accuracy and Journalism.
I think we are on the list, too.
And WILF, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. That's who we are, folks.
Right.
And we're volunteer-run, too.
And it's, as I say, it's... Thursday evening, yeah, that's right, May 21st, at 7 o'clock in the evening, and it's at the Varsity Theater, and suggested donation, quote unquote, is $5, which is pretty good deal for an actual first line movie theater to see a pretty good movie. So we encourage you all to drop by.
And there'll be a panel discussion?
Yes, that's right. There's a panel discussion afterwards.
So that would
Do you remember who they are?
No. I think Michelle Cotton-Laws is
right.
One of them, and she is certainly very dynamic. I don't know if Jerry Marcatus is one of the panel people. I don't have the flyer, but it's going to be good, folks. And the media has such an impact on us, and so much of the media is so skewed and screwed. Huh? Screwed up.
Yeah, put it on your calendar, because we have another shot at this next week.
Yeah.
So we can
we'll have the flyer and tell you more about it.
And there's another event that we want to announce, and that has to do with the Memorial Day celebration. Coming up annually, it will be May 25th this year, which is real close by Monday. And the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and several other groups like Peace Action.
I think the Orange County Peace Coalition is the umbrella sponsor, and WILF and several others. Several organizations are under that umbrella,
right. Yeah.
And we have it every year. And it's a wonderful way for Memorial Day to have something, to do something for an hour or two that's more meaningful than just your cookout or beach trip. You know, those are all wonderful, but this is an hour or two to really meditate or think about or be made more aware of what we're doing on Memorial Day, who we're memorializing, what it's all about.
And it's going to be at a different place this year.
Yeah.
It's not going to be on the town commons here in Carrboro. It's going to be at, can't think of the name of the place.
Creative Ventures? No.
Yeah.
Extraordinary Ventures. Yes.
That's what happens when us old folks forget the notes.
Extraordinary Ventures, the one when we don't have a written thing in front of us, which we should have. It's going to be at Extraordinary Ventures, and the advantage of that is that if it's a real hot day, it's going to be indoors and comfortable, and that's a very, very pleasant.
And a little bit short on supply of flies.
Yes. So it'll be very nice. So we recommend going. And what time is it going to be at?
It's going to be at 2 o'clock till about 3:30.
2 o'clock, okay.
And Curtis Gatewood of HK on J and Moral Mondays, NAACP, is going to be the featured speaker.
So that'll, oh, that's wonderful. He's a terrific speaker. So, and the other thing I just want to mention, we've been having on several programs, and Emily has kind of been spearheading about why we're opposing Fast Track for the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And lo and behold, the progressive forces have prevailed in terms of the president has, it's been tabled. They are not voting right now about Fast Track, which what Fast Track meant was that the president would have the go-ahead to just go ahead and negotiate, and then he could just come back to Congress without any debate. Right now, they're keeping it secret what's in the trade agreement, and then it would be an up-and-down vote, which is very undemocratic, and the president has been receiving a lot of criticism from his own party. He's having more support with Republicans, and so that's very worrisome right there. And part of where his own party is very upset about his pushing for this is because it is secret. And about 500 corporations have representatives making input into what's in this trade agreement. Some have said, some progressives have said, that it's like a Christmas present to the corporations, and Lord knows they do not need that. They are
and a lump of coal to
yeah,
the,
calls to
major,
Newcastle.
Major population. Yeah,
and so they're wallowing in their money offshore, and the biggest fear. That like NAFTA, environmental regulations, labor protections can be subverted, and any corporation can sue any country or municipality that if they don't like their environmental or labor regulations or protections can say, you are interfering with our future profits, which is a weird way, you know, who knows what the future holds, but they seem to feel that they can sue people for their future profits that they think are being diminished by strong environmental regulations or labor protections. And this is where, unlike NAFTA, where a few trade unions thought that it would help for their jobs, right now I think the labor movement is unified, progressives for the most part are unified, and there's been, as people have found out what's going on, more and more people are calling their congressmen and senators.
And Elizabeth Warren is unified.
And the president, who did not show anger at the pharmaceutical companies putting in things opposing his health care bill, Obamacare, he certainly has gotten angry at people who are opposing him on this, and was quite snotty about Elizabeth Warren daring to speak up. And, you know, I was surprised at the tone of voice. Not a good night for Obama, and I think that's also causing pushback because people are really pissed off about the whole thing. So there's good news, and so keep calling your congressman or those of us around here. Call David Price. I understand Burr was not for it. I'm not sure about that. So keep the phone calls going to stiffen their backs and their spines, so that as much as I voted for this president, and there's a lot of things I do like about him, he's dead wrong on this one. And he, like he said about Elizabeth Warren, he just doesn't have his facts right. He's being a politician. You know, I'll throw that right back at him.
Yeah, so, you might want to tone it down a little bit.
Yes, yes. Okay. Am I talking too loud or too mean? Okay, well, we'll tone it down and get a little passionate about this. All right.
So there's a couple more announcements.
Oh,
small
really?
Small ones, yes.
Okay.
Should you happen to want to make a comment or ask a question, we have a number you can call in, area code 919-246-9639. That's 919-246-9639. We'll be happy to field your questions and see if we can answer them, and look forward to your comments, particularly if you've had good luck with an installation or something like that. We'll be glad to hear.
Or want some information that we haven't gotten to yet. We're going to continue talking about the economics, the environmental advantages, all of that about if you get to think about or move on solarizing your home or your business. And we have Sally Robertson from NC Warren. And before we go any further, Sally, let's let people know, and we've had this on before, but you always have new listeners. What is NC Warren?
Oh, good question. NC Warren has been around for about 27 years. And I know that you've probably been with them for most of that time. So
most of
your
it,
mind
yeah.
may be blown by that number, yeah. but they've been around for a long time. I've only been there for 2.5 years, but we are an environmental nonprofit in Durham with membership around the state. And the acronym used to stand for Waste Awareness and Reduction Network. We just mostly say NC Warren these days, but in the beginning they were fighting toxic waste. There was a
piece. Yes, we were that. I have been around for the 27 years.
Yeah, and radiological waste, too.
Right, a couple
yeah.
of big campaigns at Sharon Harris fighting off a low-level nuclear waste dump, and I guess and another plan where they were going to ship high-level nuclear waste in from all of the southeast nuclear plants, and that we fought that off. I say we, but it was you guys before I was there. And now, for the last 8 or 10 years, we've been focused on climate change and the real urgency of turning the ship around on that. And since Duke Energy is the largest corporate electric utility in the world, and they're headquartered right here in Charlotte, we think it's our duty to turn them around. And if we can turn them around, maybe they can pull the rest of the industry with them. And like we were saying before, they are doing a lot of solar, and every time they do any bit of solar, they put out a press release about it, so you definitely hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just not doing enough. And at the same time that they're installing solar that they own and making money off of it, they're holding back solar that we want to do. I'll give you an example.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are they doing that? What's an example?
A good example right now is there's a piece of legislation right now in the North Carolina legislature that has broad support. It was introduced by Republicans, has bipartisan support. It's called the Energy Freedom Act, House Bill 245. If you go to the NC Warren website, ncwarren.org, and click on the picture at the top that says game-changing energy legislation, that'll take you to a page that talks about this bill, and you can click to a page we set up where you can easily email your state legislators about it. It would open, it's what we sometimes call third-party sales of electricity, which up till now has been illegal in North Carolina. Only a utility such as Duke can sell you electricity and charge you by the kilowatt hour. But in other states, in other states, a solar company will come in, put solar on your roof for free, and just charge you for the electricity. And so that makes it, that's a really great additional option for people that maybe don't have that $15,000 up front to slap down and actually own their own solar. So everybody, there are Republicans for it, Democrats for it, environmentalists like it. Big companies like Walmart, Target, Lowe's are lobbying for it because they want to be able to have those companies come in and slather their rooftops with solars to reduce their electricity bill.
So how would that work again? Wait a minute. So they put the solar on for free,
mm-hmm.
and then they sell you the electricity, so that's how they make their profit?
They make their profit by selling you the electricity, but also by using your tax credits. Since you're not owning the system, they own the system.
They
and they get those yummy tax credits that I was mentioning before. And also, when Dick asked about businesses earlier, there's additional incentives for businesses. There's accelerated depreciation and stuff like that that as a business you can take advantage of. So they have these solar companies have investors that so that they have the money to put into
mm-hmm.
buying the systems and installing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're taking all of those benefits, plus selling you the electricity. But the idea is that if you have that on your roof, you still have to have an account with Duke to get power when the sun's not shining.
The net metering idea.
Yes, I believe that under this system it would still work. You'd still do net metering, mm-hmm. but you'd still be paying something to Duke, mm-hmm. but it would be lower, mm-hmm. and then you'd be paying something to this solar company, but the combination of the two would be less than what you're paying now for your electricity.
Okay, so that way you wouldn't have that huge upfront expense so that it could be much more feasible for many, many, many people.
Right, exactly. I think you have to have a certain level of credit score, and it would depend on exactly what uh-huh. companies offered what product, what arrangements here in North Carolina.
Wow.
But so I'm not sure exactly what that is, but for a lot more people, it would be
That's
very affordable.
Exciting.
It
yeah.
is. Yeah.
So where are they doing that? You said
there are only four states that don't allow it. And North Carolina
only
is one of them.
Only four that do not allow it.
Yeah.
And we're one of them.
Right. Where they do that a lot is places like California, where A, it's legal, and B, the electricity rates are so high that it's very profitable for
yeah.
a solar company to. They can sell you electricity a lot cheaper than your utility, and still at a pretty high rate for them.
Wow, that is very interesting. So a lot of things are happening in different yeah. ways. So,
and the way we got onto this was, what is Duke Energy doing and not doing? And yeah. what they are doing a lot of right now is lobbying against that law.
And that law is called the Energy Freedom Act.
Correct.
Okay, so that's what that is. So you wouldn't have to make any kind of a down payment, and you could get solar
right.
advantages without having to put out so much up front.
Right. Another thing we call it sometimes is no money down solar.
No money down yeah. solar. And not only are you getting some advantage on your utility bill, but it's helping the environment at the same time.
Absolutely.
Less coal being dug, less mountaintop coal removal.
Yeah.
So it's like a win-win situation. That
Absolutely. The number that we've been using in Chatham that's very interesting is we figured out that the amount of solar that Solarize Chatham installed last year is offsetting 180 tons of coal per year. So
wow.
the electricity produced by those new solar panels in Chatham mean that 180 tons of coal don't have to be burned.
Wow.
Per year.
So that, yeah. And I've heard that Duke Power in some other states has competition where we have a monopoly here, and that where they have competition, they behave much more progressively. And do you know more
yes.
about that?
Yeah. A lot of the solar that Duke has done is in other states where it's operating, where it does have to be competitive.
Yeah, so they have that additional pressure. Mm. And I guess it would be hard for us to get, where they're not a monopoly here, to get another company would have a hard time getting foothold.
I think you could make a case that the legislature could, you know, turn around and encourage Duke to do that because they if they're going to grant Duke a monopoly, then it seems like there ought to be some advantages to it.
There are what they're called is a regulated monopoly. So by virtue of the fact that they're regulated by the North Carolina Utilities Commission, they get to be a monopoly. But as we know, our governor worked for Duke for 27 years, and who do you think appoints the utilities commissioners? The governor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's regulated, but they have a lot of power in the state, and they have power over the Utilities Commission. The NC Warren, one of the things we have been doing for years is intervening in dockets at the Utilities Commission. Whenever Duke asks for a rate hike or any other...
Many of us are out there.
Yes. and so there's Duke's lawyers, and then there's our lawyer, John Runkle, from Chatham, who has done a lot of good environmental
yeah.
work for a lot of environmental groups around the state. So we're there pushing them, and we have researchers that do a lot of good work on uncovering documents that allow us to push them harder, but they just have a lot of pull.
So when I'm thinking about the coal, I live on Merritt Mill Road, and that little coal train comes choo-chooing through past Weaver Street and the station and down over to UNC, to the power plant. And so I wonder, I know the students and other people try to protest and work really hard with the university to stop using coal. Where are things at with the university? Is there any chance that you all could get them to solarize, or what's happening, or is anything happening?
That's a good question. I don't know the latest, but they did. I think the Sierra Club Beyond Coal campaign did convince them to phase out the coal by 2020. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm not sure when. Okay. That's what I was wondering, because I hear that train. I love the sound of train. It's that mournful, lonely sound. But then when I think of what it's carrying and what the pain that it has caused people, particularly in our mountains with the mountaintop removal,
right,
which is the most horrendous, one of the more horrendous things we've ever heard about, it's a painful sound.
Yeah. Well, you'll just have to imagine it carrying solar panels.
Yes, I would love to imagine that.
Yeah. Well, there's an even more immediate problem that they used to have. I don't know what the exact problem is now. But back when my daughter was 8 years old, which was about 40 years ago, we were driving by the power plant there, and they was spewing ash into the air.
Wow.
There's people living in neighborhoods that particularly back in those days, there were a larger percentage hanging their clothes on the line.
Wow.
And they get covered with ash from the... I don't know if we actually saw what they call soot blowing, because I suspect they probably do that at 4 a.m. or something. But so my daughter wrote a letter to the governor saying, make them stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been going on for a while, and that's just one of the things that is a problem with using coal.
Mm-hmm. NC Warren is also working on coal ash issues around the state, and as we know from the Dan River, it's nasty stuff and can have a lot of very bad health effects.
And it's coming to Chatham.
Yep.
And Lee, maybe.
Yeah.
Unless we can stop that.
Yep. Yep.
And people are still, I don't think people have given up hoping to stop that, because that plan is terrible. I mean, these plastic liners, of course they're going to leak.
Yeah,
it's just, and why they can't take care of it on their own property, why it's got to be Lee County's problem or Chatham County's problem. And then if these liners leak, who's going to be responsible to clean that up? And cleanup is always 10 times. There's still so much damage done to water, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I've heard that part of the deal in Lee and Chatham, where they want to use these abandoned clay mines and call them coal ash deposits, that part of that deal is that they're transferring the liability for it onto the company that will be operating
That's what I've heard. If that goes through and that company could go out of business, then who's left holding the bag?
Right, and NC Warren, if you go to NC Warren's website, you can find out about our coal ash work, too. And we have a set of principles, and one of our top principles is Duke needs to pay for the cleanup. And Duke needs to be responsible for the cleanup, because doing it the wrong way for all these years was cheaper, and their shareholders benefited from that. And now they need to pay the cost of doing what it takes to, so that it's not a health risk to the public.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I want us, before we lose track of time, to get your websites, and also say somebody is listening or somebody we talk to, if they want to sign up, what do they do? What's the steps?
Good. Very good question. I'll talk about our programs in Chatham, Durham, and Western Wake.
Okay.
They're sort of staggered. So Chatham, we're wrapping that up on Saturday. Saturday, May 16th, is the deadline to sign up for a free assessment. If you go to our website, it's you can go to ncwarren.org and find it that way, or solarize-nc.org. And then you'll see places to click for Chatham, Durham, and Western Wake. You just go to your region, and you'll see a place to sign up for the program. And all you're signing up for is a free solar assessment. It just means that NC Warren will pass on your information to one or the other of those two solar installers, and they'll contact you. They actually look on the web and see what your house looks like on an aerial image. if you're living in the middle of Sherwood Forest, they're probably going to call you and say, I am so sorry, but solar's not going to work for you. But if you're not, then they will come out and do a very detailed assessment, which is also an amazing education. I learned so much when my installer came out and did that assessment. You can ask them any questions you have about solar, and that's all free. Then they'll give you a proposal with the cost, and you have a period of time, I think it's a month or 6 weeks, to decide on whether or not you want to go ahead.
So for Chatham, if you call by Saturday the 15th,
yeah,
then you'll be under the line to get that detailed assessment.
Correct. And then for Durham and Western Wake, it's June 15th.
June 15th, okay. And then for Orange County, they go to the other...
Yes. I don't want to confuse things too much, but their website is very similar to ours. It's solarizenc.org, no hyphen. So we're solarize-nc.org.
Okay.
But also, if you go to our website, we have a page called Locations, and we have links to every Solarize program. The other ones I know about right now in North Carolina are Solarize Sandhills down around Fayetteville, and Solarize Cabarrus in Cabarrus County.
So, boy, it's happening in different parts of the state. And I think you'd mentioned Asheville was one of the early ones earlier.
Yeah, they got started first.
Okay.
I think it's the Blue Ridge Sustainability Institute that started that.
Uh-huh.
And there was a woman working there, Katie Bray, who was running the Solarize program. She has since split off and formed her own organization called Clean Energy for Us. And she does programs. She's done programs in Raleigh, some more in Western North Carolina right now, where she combines solar and energy efficiency measures.
Wonderful. So you're working on that, and how many people are you working with at NC Warren?
Everybody on our staff helps out in different ways. I'm the Solarize coordinator, and then there are wonderful volunteers, especially in Chatham. In Chatham, we worked with we had a big core of volunteers, and a lot of them came through the Central Carolina Sustainable Technologies Program.
Okay.
So our star volunteer is Danielle Duclos. I have to give a shout out to Danielle because she's been wonderful both last year and this year, just working pretty much full time as if she had a full time job.
And she's a volunteer.
She's doing it all for free out of the love of solar and concern for the planet.
That's what keeps you going, you know. There's just so many really good people really trying to make this a better planet, and that's what, you know, keeps us all going, I think. You just get so heartened and encouraged by that.
Yes.
That's wonderful, yeah. Well, yes, we'll give her a shout-out. Danielle, thank you. So, this is great. We have a couple more minutes. Is there anything else that I forgot to ask you that you wanted to mention?
Let's see.
Anything?
I guess we talked about the Energy Freedom Act and that you can go to our website and write to your legislators about that. That's very important. And there's also the Energy Investment Act.
Oh, what's that?
That's on that same page I guided you to about the Energy Freedom Act. There's a place that says more legislation, and you can click to also write about the Energy Investment Act, which is extending the tax credits. That would extend those renewable energy tax credits for an additional 5 years for most systems, really, really large systems. It only extends it for 2 years.
So this tax credit's been going on. This is the fifth year?
You know, I am not exactly sure when it started.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for a while. The one other thing I forgot to mention about the tax credits is you don't have to take them all in the first year. Even though it's expiring this year, let's say it doesn't get extended, if you start taking it, if you get your solar installed this year, you can extend the state credit over 5 years and the federal over 2. So you don't have to use it all up in the first year. If your taxes, my salary is not that high and I don't pay that much in taxes, but I'm still going to be able to use up the whole thing if over that 2-year period for the feds and 5 years for the state.
So if your income is kind of low, that you can spread it out and get a little help for the next few years.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, that's good to know.
But the other thing that is important to know is that, and the reason that we're doing all these Solarize programs up front this year and having the deadlines be so soon, is that you have to be up and running, interconnected with the grid, producing electricity by December 31st, or else you don't get the tax credit.
Okay.
And so the installers are saying, we need all these contracts signed by the end of July, or we're not going to have time
to do
all the work.
So that's why May 15th for Chatham and June 15th for Durham.
Durham and Western
and
Wake.
Western Wake.
And I believe the Orange County is in June also, but
in Orange County, maybe in June also. So, yeah, that makes sense because you'll be counting on that tax credit. Yeah. So you got to get it done and give them time to do it. Okay, well, this is really heartening. It's just so nice to get good news about how this is spreading, how the cost has come down 80% in the last, is it 5 years? Or last 5 years, 80%. So it's getting more and more doable. And that other way of doing it with no down payment? What is it?
Right, no money down.
No money down. So what? And that's the Energy Freedom Act? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
If the Energy Freedom Act passes, then we'll have that option.
So, folks, get in touch with your legislators. You know, let them know how important this is for the environment, for jobs. This is a great jobs producer. It's win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Okay, this is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom
Show. Oh, that's
show.
Right. Yes, we want to get that in.
Yeah, where I get that
and
in.
And Dick Paddock is
Dick Paddock.
Co-host.
And
Lorraine Hoyt.
Emily O'Hare is running our camera.
Yes.
And our guest today.